I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Akosua Yemwa. In the headlines, President John Mahama assures Ghanaians of a government free from hatred, mudslinging and vindictiveness. Smuggling of fertilizer on the increase in the Upper East region. More than 500 people displaced by tidal waves in Keta. Somali MPs ready to elect new president after 8-year rule by UN-backed transitional government. And South African miners face dismissal deadline today. First, a summary with Ibrahim Kwating.
President John Dramani Mahama has assured Ghanaians that his government will not indulge in politics of hatred, mudslinging, and vindictiveness. Speaking at separate functions on his thank you tour to the central and western regions, President Mahama was optimistic that the 2012 elections will be most peaceful. The Upper East Regional Minister, Mark Oyongo, is not happy about the rate at which fertilizer is being smuggled across the border towns of Togo and Burkina Faso. Speaking at an emergency meeting with municipal and district chief executives and district directors of agriculture and fertilizer dealers at Bogatanga, Mr. Oyongo said the practice denies farmers access to fertilizer for their crops. More than 50 houses have been flooded and about 500 people displaced by tidal waves in some communities in the Keta municipality in the Volta region. In an interview with Radio Ghana, the assembly member for Jita electoral area, Samuel Dejo, said the victims are putting up with relatives and friends, and Somalia's new parliament is preparing to hold a vote to name a president for the country. The vote is expected to mark the end of 8-year rule by UN-backed transitional federal government whose mandate has expired.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news in detail. One significant theme that ran through the address of President John Dramani Mahama's 2-day Central and Western Regional Thank You Tour was the need to sustain the peace the country is currently enjoying. Even as he thanked the people, he assured them of peaceful elections this year, adding that his government would not indulge in politics of hatred, mudslinging and vindictiveness. Pascalina Dedivo reviews the tour in this report.
President John Mahama is embarking on a thank you tour, not a campaign, to show appreciation to the many Ghanaians who showed genuine solidarity on the death, funeral and burial of late President John Atta Mills. In the traditional setup, the gesture of saying thank you is critical. The president chose the central region as starting point because it is the region from where the late president hails from. The western region because it is the best place of the late professor. Starting from Kaswa, the whole town went agog. With a brass band procession, residents lined up at both sides of the road to wave as the president's convoy passed through. The president's next stops were at the Mankesim and Kotokraba markets. As a sign of appreciation, he walked through the markets, exchanging pleasantries and waved along. Security was at its best, but the men so had a tough time controlling the enthusiastic crowd. As the microphone went round, these market women could not help but utter some few words.
Yeah!
His tour of the Central Region ended with a debar of chiefs and people at the Victoria Park. As he relayed the message of appreciation to them, he announced that a new stadium project and the famous Kotokraba Market, which were pet projects of late President Mills, will soon take off. The tour of the Western Region began with a stop at the Market Square in Takrade. The road from the Fiankwanta Government Hospital to the Market Square was jammed with people in anticipation for the arrival of the president. For the first time, President Mahama had to stand up through an open-top vehicle to respond to cheers from the teeming crowd. Here he assured them of the most peaceful elections, promising to continue all outstanding projects in the region. The final stop was a debar at Takwa Naboso Park. President Mahama reiterated the need to relive the legacy of late President Mills. He directed the Minister of Roads, Joe Gidisu, to quickly start the procurement process for work to begin on some roads in the Takwa municipality. People of the Volta and Eastern regions should look out for the thank you train on Tuesday.
Pascalina Dadivo reporting. Access to potable water has been a major challenge to both rural and urban dwellers. The problem is even more pronounced in parts of the national capital, Accra. Successive governments have attempted in various ways to deal with the challenge by privatizing management of urban water production, but that could not solve the problem. The current administration therefore decided not to renew the management contract with AVRL when it expired about a year ago, and instead set up the Ghana Urban Water Limited. But how has this new company fared? Bubu Klinugo has been finding out in this interview with the PRO of the company, Stanley Marty, who gave the assurance that access to potable water in Accra will increase from the current 65% to 95% in 2 to 3 years.
Ghana Urban Water took over a year ago, and we still have been improving on the system, so we are doing well.
Now, you still have complaints of challenges, water rationing here and there, people complain of a lack of potable water. What is happening?
If I say we are doing well, that is not to say that everybody has water 24/7, but at least there has been some improvement in the system. Hitherto, people were not having access to water at all, okay, or others had water about hours in a week. Currently, we have an average of 4 days in a week. Okay, so it means that there has been some improvement. We've had challenges because we do not, or our operations is not dependent on only us alone. We also depend on ECG as well, and we depend on other factors. So when we have challenges, it impacts on us.
Now that you've identified, you accepted that there are challenges, what pragmatic measures are you putting in place to resolve some of these challenges?
The major challenge that we have is investment, and under the Better Ghana agenda, there has been some investments in the system, and we are expecting that, for instance, a new project being undertaken by China Jezuba at Bong to double the capacity of Bong is in place, and within the next 2 to 3 years, that project should be completed. And this was a project that our late president himself worked on and managed to source funds from China to enable that job to be done. So in the next 2 to 3 years, that job will be completed, and we should improve on access from our current 65% in Accra to close to 95% in the metropolis.
That's in 3 years' time?
That's in between 2 and 3 years.
If you talk of water difficulties, Adenta in the areas like Teshinungwa are the worst hit. So what measures or specific programs do you have for those areas?
In Adenta, for instance, we have some boreholes in Dodowa, which was actually dedicated to the Adenta area. So that improved on the water situation in Adenta. But you realize that within Dodowa and Adenta now, there has been a lot of development, residential development. They are all also tapping on that line, and as a result, it's affecting Adenta again. But with this new project that I'm talking about, when that project comes on board, it's going to improve the water situation in that area, especially because we are laying piles from Kpong through Dodowa area, through Adenta Madina to our Konglo Reservoir. So they should have more water when this project is completed.
PRO of Ghana Urban Water Limited, Stanley Mati, talking to Bubu Klinago. Statistics indicate that Ghana's health institutions need a lot of support from both private and public organizations in order to deliver quality health care to the people. The Ghana Nurses Association branch in the UK, which has been supporting health care posts in the country, however says its efforts are sometimes thwarted by the heavy duties they pay at the port on health care equipment to support some communities. According to the former president and now patron of the Ghana Nurses Association in the UK, Madame Mary Owusu, officials from the Ghana Ports and Harbours Authority need to assist the association to support the health sector without restrictions.
If you're looking after someone, for example, a child with particular breathing difficulties, and you haven't got the equipment to look after this child, you're compromising their life. Should have equipment. These equipment should be monitored, checked, and serviced so that we can use regularly. Or perhaps ask people over here for a particular. There are so many associations, not just men, right, and say, we have a particular equipment, you know. If we can't, we will do our collection by that. That's what we have. No, we sent things to Ghana before, and we had a lot of problems at the port. So people should be relaxed about these things. And you know, if we do that, then we are able to help. But if we are restricted, we can't. Yeah, I appreciate they're also doing their job at the port. But if the hospital has access for an equipment, and we're taking it there, then we should be allowed to do that with all the papers and everything. It should be very difficult. If you do that, we get to talk. So we don't do it.
Former president and now patron of the Ghana Nurses Association UK branch, Madame Mary Owusu. President John Dramani Mahama has called on Ghanaians to imbibe their act of tolerance in all spheres of endeavor, particularly as the country goes to the polls in December. He said usually during elections, when tensions are rising, there's the tendency to be provoked, leading to violence. The president threw the caution when he addressed a large gathering of Muslims at the Black Star Square in Accra to mark Eid al-Fitr. The president also received special prayers from the National Chief Imam, Sheikh Osman Nuhu Shaributu. Pascalina Darivo reports.
The period of fasting is one of the 5 pillars of Islam, and Muslims who are fiscally stable are obliged to fast each day for the entire month. The exact date of Islamic holidays or Eid is usually not determined ahead of time because the end of the fast is based on the sighting of the Hilal waxing crescent moon. At exactly 10:15, the National Chief Imam Sheikh Osman Nuhu Shaributu arrived to lead the congregation in prayer. Shortly before he arrived was what could be described as a drizzle, probably a sign that the unity that characterized the country during the death of President Mills has come to stay. President John Mahama reaffirmed his commitment to ensure peaceful elections while cautioning the youth, particularly the Muslim youth, to desist from untoward behaviors.
If you take all religions in this world, Islam, Christianity, Buddhism, all of them, the one basic principle that underlies all religions is the word love. And love emanates from the principle that is contained in all religions, that we must love our brothers as ourselves. Intolerance between religions leads to violence. And yet in Ghana, we see the two major religions in this world coexisting peacefully side by side. That is the kind of peaceful coexistence that we have and respect that we have between religions. And it's not by accident. It is because Allah has blessed Ghana.
National Chief Imam Sheikh Osman Nuhu Shaributu, in a sermon, reminded the Muslim faithful to be God-fearing and mindful of Allah's commandments, including prohibitions. He condemned politics of insult, adding that it is Allah who entrusts people into positions of authority, not man. Leaders must therefore be accorded some respect. Among those present at the event were former Vice President Alhaji Aliyu Mahama and flag bearer of the PNC Hassan Ayariga.
Kalina Dadivo reporting. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. President John Mahama assures Ghanaians of a government free from hatred, mudslinging and vindictiveness. Smuggling of fertilizer on the entries in the Upper East region. More than 500 people displaced by tidal waves in Keta. Somali MPs ready to elect new president after 8-year rule by UN-backed transitional government, and South African miners face dismissal deadline today. The Upper East Regional Minister Mark Wayungu has expressed concern about the alarming rate at which fertilizer is being smuggled across the region. Mr. Wayungu was addressing an emergency meeting with municipal and district chief executives, district directors of agriculture and fertilizer dealers on the sale and distribution of fertilizer.
It is coming from the general public.
Being farmers and smuggled them to Enzibela, Lokon. As a measure, Mr. Wayungu tasked the regional director of agriculture and the ministry and MOFA to do appraisal of the dealers to be able to monitor them effectively. As the country prepares to go to the polls in December, there have been calls by civil society groups, religious bodies and other organizations to political parties to conduct their activities with decency, devoid of personal attacks and insults. The latest to add his voice to these calls is Ghana's High Commissioner to the United Kingdom, Professor Kwame Dansopoafo. He asked Ghanaians to tolerate each other's views in order to ensure peaceful general elections in December. More than 50 houses were flooded and about 500 people displaced by tidal waves in three communities in the Keta municipality in the Volta region. The waves hit Anyanwi, Wuti and Jita communities. The assembly member for Jita electoral area, Samuel Deju, told Radio Ghana that the victims are putting up with relatives and friends. He said the waves have halted economic activities in the area, as well as the Jita local authority basic school. He spoke to Doreen Ampofu.
3 days today, which was Friday, about 6 p.m., there was a high tidal wave coming into the town. And by 1 a.m., the southern part of the community was flooded. And a whole lot of people, the families and households, had come out to stand by the street with their luggage, bed, everything. Up to the morning of Saturday, the whole of the area was still flooded and the situation was going on seriously. About 50 houses were flooded and about 500 people were displaced. Some were sleeping on the street, some go to their families. And I have spoke to the municipal chief executive, MP, the NADMO. Yesterday they paid a visit to the area and tried to calm the people. The situation changed every 3 hours. The school block was affected. The whole of school compound was flooded. Economic activities have stopped completely because no one can go to his shop. Everything has suspended.
Were there any casualties?
No. Nobody died as of now.
Oh, you also mentioned that the sea level continues to rise within every 3 hours. Does that mean that there's a possibility that there'll be another tidal wave?
Yes, the sea is rising seriously and still overflowing the place.
You also mentioned that NADMO officials came there to assess the situation. Have they come up with any support for the victims?
Not yet. The government should come in. If it's something which you ratify the situation permanently, they should continue the sea defense project that is going on. Because last time, the first project that was awarded, they cut off about 100 meters, which have to come to Jita. They send it up at Toko, where the situation was worse when they started. But issuing the second contract, they don't realize to come up is that 100 meters to continue. Very soon, I believe it will cut the road again as what happened formerly. Now, the school people are in a holiday, so I don't know what is going to happen. Although tomorrow they have to start with the classes, I don't know what is going to happen because the whole of the compound was flooded.
Assembly member for Jita Electoral Area Samuel Deju talking to Doreen Nampofu. Meanwhile, the National Disaster Management Organization says its officials are on the ground assessing the situation. The municipal coordinator for Keta, Alex Atakpa, tells Radio Ghana that the victims should expect some form of support within the week.
It's a yearly occurrence, but this year is extraordinary. The regional coordinator has just left, and presently I'm in the MCE, and we are assessing the damages. That's why the fact that Dabmo Sonar staff are on the ground collecting the data. Unless tomorrow before I know what to do.
So are they to expect any kind of help from NADMU?
Oh, of course, of course. If I submit a report to the regional coordinator and discuss the issue, you know what to do to them.
How soon are they to expect this help?
By next week. So Monday is a holiday. At least Tuesday or Wednesday, we'll get them something. We give them some mattresses and let's say some foodstuffs.
You mentioned earlier that this situation is a yearly occurrence. Did NADMU prepare for this year's tidal?
Okay. We educated them long time because during the middle of August, we usually have a high tidal wave over here.
Municipal Coordinator for Keta, Alex Atakpa. The National Disaster Management Organization, NADMU, yesterday attended a special church service in Accra in memory of the late President Mills as part of activities marking this year's UN Humanitarian Day. In a message, the National Coordinator of NADMU, Kofi Potofi, so the late president helped NADMU to discharge his duties diligently. He said late President Mills did not want to see people suffer, so he supported NADMU to bring relief to flood victims as well as the poor and needy. Cynthia Boating has more.
The UN World Humanitarian Day is held every year on August 19th to honor all humanitarians and those who lost their lives in the course of duty. The day is also used to increase public awareness about service to mankind and the importance of international cooperation. This year's World Humanitarian Day presents an opportunity to bring together people around the world to devise ways to help people in dire need. The National Coordinator of NADMU, Kofi Potofi, who could not hold back his tears while addressing the congregation, said the late President Mills made valuable contributions to save the lives of people. Therefore, it behoves all Ghanaians to strive to emulate the late president to make the country a better place for everybody. A special prayer was said for the soul of the late president, the widow Dr. Mrs. Ernestina NADMU Mills, the family and all Ghanaians. A member of the Council of State, Reverend Dr. Niamh Odakun, and representatives from the Funeral Planning Committee graced the occasion and contributed a sum of money to the construction of a Trinity Methodist Church auditorium.
Cynthia Boating filed that report. Incumbent Nordai MP and Minister of Tourism Akwa Senadansua has lost to a private legal practitioner, George Lowe, at the NDC primaries in the constituency. Mr. Lowe pulled 99 votes, whilst Madam Akwa Senadansua pulled 87 votes. The third place went to Dr. Kojogavwa, a senior lecturer at the University of Ghana. He pulled 33 votes. In the Kwandu Central constituency, Mrs. Delasue, a publisher, pulled 129 votes to beat Charles Nkansa to the second place. James Funu took the third place with 36 votes. The presiding bishop of the Methodist Church, Ghana, Most Reverend Professor Emmanuel Asante, has advised Christians to be dedicated in their service to God and mankind, saying it is the only way to glorify God. He was speaking at the 40th anniversary of the Reverend Dagadu Memorial Methodist Church in Accra. Linda Nyam filed this report.
The Reverend Dagadu Memorial Church started as a Bible class meeting at the residence of the late Reverend Peter Dagadu in Osu. With permission from the Accra circuit, the church started on the 6th of August 1972 with 40 members, and the number has risen over the years. Delivering the sermon, Most Reverend Professor Emmanuel Asante advised Christians to adopt lifestyles worthy of emulation and follow the tenets of Christ, rather than concentrating on amassing wealth. This, he noted, is the only way to gain eternal life and true happiness.
A lot of people today are people Jesus, only for physical or material benefit, and not because they believe that Jesus has something of eternal value to offer them. Remember, Jesus has said, a person's life does not consist in the abundance of that person's wealth. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, all the titles, all the names, and lose his own soul? Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life.
The minister in charge of the church, Reverend Emmanuel Chercha, advised the congregation to focus on the Word of God, which is key to acquiring wisdom and knowledge. As part of the activities marking the anniversary, a church hall complex was dedicated to God to be used as a conference hall and a Sunday school. Some members of the church were given certificates and trophies for their selfless devotion to the work of God.
A report by Linda Nyam. Somalia's new parliament is preparing to hold a vote to name a president for the country. The vote will mark the end of a period of 8 years of rule by the UN-backed transitional federal government, whose mandate has expired. Security is reported to be heavy across the capital, Mogadishu, with troops and police officers patrolling the streets. Outgoing President Sheikh Sharif Sheikh Ahmed, who was in power since 2009, is seen as a favorite for the role. A deadline is approaching for striking workers at the South African mine where police shot dead 34 miners on Thursday to go back to work or face dismissal. A statement from the owner of the mine, Lonmin, said 3,000 workers were striking illegally and must report to work today. The company delayed the deadline from Friday in light of the killings at the Marikana Platinum Mine northwest of Johannesburg. Miners said the new ultimatum is an insult to their dead colleagues. President Jacob Zuma yesterday declared a week of national mourning. About 3,000 rock drill operators of the mine walked out more than a week ago in support of demands for higher pay. Libyan authorities say they have arrested 32 members of a network loyal to former leader Muammar Gaddafi in connection with the twin car bombings in the capital Tripoli yesterday. Two people were killed by the two blasts near the former military academy for women and the interior ministry. The attacks took place as crowds prepared for mass morning prayers to mark Eid al-Fitr, the Muslim celebration at the end of the fasting month Ramadan. An official of Libya's top security body, Colonel Mahmoud Sharif, said the network had been linked to the bombs. He blamed Gaddafi's supporters for the attacks, who he alleged were receiving financial backing from contacts based in neighboring countries. Football. Ghana's only team in the CAF Champions League, Brekum Chelsea, were yesterday held to a 1-1 draw against Egyptian side Al Ahly at the Accra Sports Stadium. Al Ahly took the lead in the 42nd minute through Usu Kunam after an impressive performance from the Brekum Chelsea in the first half. However, Chelsea came in strongly in the second half of the game, creating glorious opportunities, which midfielder Jordan Opoku levelled up for the home side with an outstanding strike from the 18-yard box in the 52nd minute. Chelsea have 5 points and will now depend on their remaining two matches in the group stage to brighten their chances of qualifying for the semi-finals of the competition. Al Ahly, on the other hand, have sealed their qualification for the semi-final stage with 10 points. Now to end the news, the main points again. President John Dramani Mahama has assured Ghanaians that his government will not indulge in politics of hatred, mudslinging and vindictiveness. Speaking at separate functions on his thank you tour to the central and western regions, President Mahama was optimistic that the 2012 elections would be peaceful. The Upper East Regional Minister Mark Wuyungu has expressed worry about the rate at which fertilizer is being smuggled across the border towns of Togo and Burkina Faso. Speaking at an emergency meeting with municipal and district chief executives and district directors of agriculture and fertilizer dealers at Bolgatanga, Mr. Wuyungu said the practice denies farmers access to fertilizer for their crops. More than 50 houses have been flooded and about 500 people displaced by tidal waves in the communities in the Keta municipality in the Volta region. And Somalia's new parliament is preparing to hold a vote to name a president for the country. The vote is expected to mark the end of the 8-year rule by UN-backed transitional federal government, whose mandate has expired. The news was broadcast from Radio Ghana in Accra.